I'm Marty Moscoen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. Earlier this week, the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC, released a report telling the world that if we don't take steps now to reverse global warming, there will be dire circumstances. They said the goal should be keeping temperature increases to no more than 1.5 degrees Celsius, and that will require a, quote, rapid and far-reaching global transformation that has never happened before. Anything more than 1.5 means even more heat waves and droughts and diseases and sea level rise and crop failures. We asked Ben Strauss to join us. He is CEO and chief scientist at Climate Central that researches and reports on the impacts of climate change. His area of expertise is sea level rise, architect of the surging seas. And Ben Strauss, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Marty, good morning, and thanks so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Should we be afraid?
Unfortunately, yes. Quite afraid.
Quite afraid, because the IPCC has issued reports before telling us essentially what has been happening over the last number of years, but this one seems to have upped the ante a bit more. How do you read it?
Yes, it really did. I think the overall headlines are that things are considerably worse than we thought, even 3 or 4 years ago, and that we have a limited time to address this problem, a really vanishing window, to avoid some pretty severe impacts.
Why is it worse than we thought? I mean, were they wrong, or it's just that our CO2 emissions have increased, or we're just seeing the effects of that?
No, you know, I think you might feel like you're always hearing climate stories that
exactly
say, you know, it's worse than we thought. And if you stop and think about it, that's actually what we will always expect to be learning. We're going to keep on getting that piece of news, and here's why. Because not having climate change means we have a stable climate, and things are pretty much stable and as we expect them. Change means the potential for consequences, and usually negative consequences, because, you know, changing ecosystems from what they're adapted to is difficult. Changing cities for what they're built to is difficult. So the more change, the more bad consequences on the whole. And it's hard for us to anticipate all of the changes that are going to happen. So the more we study the problem, the more changes scientists uncover. And so we say, wow, you know, there are more dimensions to this than we thought. It's going to be worse than we thought. So instead of it maybe sounds fatalistic, but instead of feeling fatalistic or this is the only news we ever get, the truth is that it's what we expect, because each time we uncover a new change, chances are it's going to be a challenge to either the built environment or the natural environment.
And let me pick up on a couple of things. 1.5 degrees Celsius is 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit. And since most of us use Fahrenheit, I wanted to make sure our listeners understood that. Why, though, is a tiny, let's say, a 1% or a 1 degree Celsius change in global temperatures, why does that have such far-reaching effects?
It really is pretty extraordinary, isn't it? Maybe here's something people can identify with. Anyone who's cooked at home, put a pot on the stove, knows that you only have to change the heat a tiny bit to go from a simmer to a boil. And that's basically what's happening with our climate. Only a little bit of added energy means a lot more moisture in the atmosphere, a lot more rainfall, a lot more weather extremes.
So think pot on the stove as a way to understand how temperature and climate, I guess, interact. Now, I was reading that we, meaning the world, releases something like 40 billion tons of CO2 emissions every year. So if we're going to try to follow what the IPCC panel recommends, what does that mean?
It means the world copying what Hawaii and California have pledged to do, legislated to do, what the governors have said they're doing, which is get to zero net carbon emissions by 2050. and pretty much cut our emissions in half by 2030. Now, in terms of what that means in a practical sense, it means a very continuing rapid transition to renewable energy like solar and wind. The IPCC also included nuclear power and natural gas with capturing the carbon dioxide and sequestering it, and things like reforestation as part of the puzzle. But I think the interesting thing about climate change to me is, while it's a really hard problem, it's maybe the easiest hard problem. It is fixable. We have the technology that we need. But the challenge is, and people don't realize this, and this is another message of this report, the consequences are very enduring. Once the carbon is in the atmosphere, once we put it there, it affects us for hundreds and thousands of years. It's not like, oh, once it starts feeling really dangerous, we'll just put a brake on things.
Right.
No, that means that it will keep on being really dangerous for thousands of years.
Because it's really kind of baked into the system, right?
Yeah, carbon, a large fraction of the carbon we emit stays in the atmosphere for more than 1,000 years. So it's fixable, and we can fix it forever, or we can fail it forever, and we really have a critical couple of decades here to do that.
Well, let me just quickly reintroduce you. I do want to give out phone numbers and ways that folks can join our conversation. That's Ben Strauss. He's the CEO and chief scientist at Climate Central, and we're talking about this new report released earlier this week, actually, by the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. You probably saw the headlines and read about it as well. You can join us at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. You can also tweet us at WHYY Radio Times to join the conversation, any questions or any comments. Ben, what I hear from you is, on the one hand, our hair is on fire. This is a serious, dire situation that we're in. And on the other hand, there are things that can be done that actually can, what, meet the goal that the IPCC has laid out?
Yes. So this report was about the difference between warming the planet a total of 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit versus a total of 3.6 Fahrenheit, and what a difference that would make. And it's an enormous difference. We're really on the edge of being able to achieve the 2.7 goal. Some people would say it's impossible at this point, but maybe we can get there if we work hard and have some luck thrown in.
A little bit of luck thrown in. You mentioned things like renewables. So practically speaking, then, we have to figure out how to cut back on CO2 emissions coming from things like coal. But we also have a government in this country, the Trump administration, wants to bring back coal. What do we do about that?
Yeah, it is tragic. I really look forward to the day when the political parties in this country fight bitterly over what to do about climate change. But tragically, right now, there's an argument about whether it's a problem. It's one of the only places in the world that's having that argument in a serious way. It's as if two fire chiefs are looking at smoke billowing out of a home and having an argument about whether there's a fire. You know, it's reasonable for them to argue about the best strategy and tactics quickly on how to address the fire, but we know there's a fire. So it is tragic, and my hope is that this administration will somehow come around. Trump has proven, you know, nothing if not adept at changing his position radically on various issues. So we can hope for that, but there are also tremendous amount of things that states are doing, like California and Hawaii with their remarkable pledges. Washington state citizens will have the option to vote for a carbon fee. Cities are doing a tremendous amount. And I think in the future, there are so many. This isn't only about reducing something that's bad. When we make the transition to renewable energy, and we will, the question is only how quickly, there will be so many other benefits besides climate change. There will be hundreds of thousands fewer deaths per year because of air pollution. We will turn off the money pipeline to, you know, terrorists supporting regimes in the Middle East that depend on oil dollars. The commute will be quieter because cars will be electric and we won't have the internal combustion engine. Grime will not, and soot will not cover cities or snow after it falls in the winter. And we'll just be a lot more self-reliant using our own sun and wind that happen here for energy. So there are so many benefits to the path of renewables. And I think that people from the future, 50 years from the future, coming back to today would be horrified at the way we live, to be honest, at the stink and noise and pollution of the internal combustion engine, for example, just as we would be horrified if we went back to 19th century Manhattan and smelled the horse manure in the streets.
Interesting example there. And I appreciate your optimism, but by 2015, there are going to be 2 billion more people on the planet. And this IPCC panel says that there needs to be some kind of global cooperation. We don't often see that. How do we address that?
Yeah. I'd say that this is an extremely difficult problem. I'm not saying that I expect that we will solve it. I think that there is some chance. And if we do, it could rank as civilization's greatest achievement. It's never too late to try or do better. But I think the drop in cost of solar and wind technologies and now energy storage technology has been so dramatic over the last few years, we really might see a faster transition in the global energy economy than I think we're used to expecting.
Because it sounds like you're saying technology, in a sense, is leading the way.
Yes, it has, more than technology and government support for technology has really led the way.
Let me quickly reintroduce you again. That's Ben Strauss. He is CEO and chief scientist at Climate Central, second of actually 4 guests in this hour of Radio Times. And in this segment of the show, we are talking about climate change. And again, this new report released earlier this week from the United Nations, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, basically telling all of us, telling the world that we have to do something now to reverse global warming. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. Let me read a couple of comments. One from Amy says, I'd love to ask your guest what he thinks we're missing in our efforts to communicate the dire consequence of inaction on climate change. As someone who believes that policies like carbon fee and dividend deserve serious consideration, I'm increasingly frustrated about our apparent failure to move on others to get on board. What do you think about carbon fee or carbon capture or a carbon tax?
Well, economists have said for a long time across both parties that putting a price on carbon is going to be the single most effective measure to reduce our emissions. And that lets the economy decide where are the least expensive ways to do it. This is something that Washington State is considering in the United States, and a number of other, the European Union has a carbon trading system that begins to put a price on carbon. So there are early efforts. I think the other point that your listener makes is also interesting, which is the communications challenge here. That's what my organization is dedicated to. I'm very grateful that you're having this segment, but sure. If you look at the media as a whole, there's extremely little coverage of this issue. And I understand it's very challenging to cover in a lot of ways. It's like watching very dangerous grass grow when there's such pressing news of the day. But I promise that in 100 years and in 1,000 years, our descendants, what we do on climate is the only thing they are going to care about out of everything that we do today, this year, this decade.
Let me read some more comments. An email from Tom says, in addition to reducing meat consumption, eating more greens and vegetables and fruits, what types of crops are best for capturing carbon dioxide and reducing the overall greenhouse gas effects? Ben, do you have an answer for Tom?
Yeah, I wouldn't focus on a specific crop so much, but the issue of land use and removing carbon from the atmosphere is a very important one. So we can convert crop and rangeland into forest, replant forests, reforest, stop cutting forests. All of those things are very helpful. And something else that's true is that soils have the potential to store a lot of carbon. Mm-hmm. Our soils, our agricultural soils, have historically lost a great deal of carbon, but there are ways to change the way we plant. For example, no-till agriculture, or adding biochar or compost to soils, which show promise for really helping soils to recapture a lot of carbon. And not only is that beneficial from a climate perspective, but it also improves the soil profile for crop productivity by helping soils to hold moisture better and transfer nutrients better.
A couple minutes before we have to say goodbye. Certainly some parts of the world are experiencing the impact of global warming. You're an expert in sea level rise. I know there's a movement afoot called 1.5 to stay alive. It's something from the small islands states, but I also know in New Jersey, which is both sinking and sea level rising, that there are parts of the United States that are facing the consequence of this.
Absolutely. We are experiencing the consequences of climate change every day here. We simply don't typically put a label on it or talk about it. 3 out of 4 coastal floods today, our analysis shows, happened because of sea level rise from climate change.
Wow.
Otherwise, they would not have crossed the threshold of flood, the level where they start to get onto roads and into infrastructure. Sandy was billions of dollars more destructive because of human-caused sea level rise. And some new research is indicating that homes in America less than 6 feet above the local high tide line are actually already discounted by 7% because of sea level rise. They're worth 7% less than they should be worth. So Americans are feeling the consequences already, even if we don't realize it.
Well, on that note, Ben Strauss, thank you very much for joining us today on Radio Times and giving us your thoughts, some analysis from this about this new report from the United Nations.
Thanks so much, Marty. Appreciate you having me.
No problem. And again, that is Ben Strauss, and he is CEO and Chief Scientist at Climate Central. They do research and reports on the impacts of climate change. We're going to take another short break and then get back to a very different conversation. We'll be talking about gritty. Stay with us. We'll be right back.